If you will, we'll turn in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Try to encourage us this evening with this relationship that we have with God. The day I got saved, the verse that really spoke to me and kind of sealed the deal was John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, sons and daughters of God, who are born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And that's when I understood for the first time in my life why the Lord Jesus came. He came so that I could be saved, so I could become a son of God. Hebrews 12 and starting at verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto sons. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, of which all are partakers, then are ye bastards, or illegitimate, and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh who corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For there verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them who are exercised by it. The Lord will bless the reading of his word. Let's have a short word of prayer. Our God and Father, we thank you that you are our Father. We are your sons and daughters, all those who trusted Christ for salvation. And we pray that you would encourage us this evening with this truth of the relationship that we have with you and how you treat us day by day. And we know that it is all for our good. So help us as we study your word in this important passage. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. So I was going to read in 1 Thessalonians 1 and 1 Thessalonians 5, where it says clearly that we have been delivered from the wrath to come. You see that in chapter 1. And in chapter 5, it says that we were not called unto wrath, but unto obtaining salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have to make a very important distinction between being disciplined and being under the wrath of God. So we will never, as children of God, as his child or daughter or son, we will never, never see God's wrath. That was fixed, that was dealt with at Calvary once and for all for us. But sometimes life is hard. Sometimes things happen. Sometimes things are not going the way we'd like them to go. So why is it? Why is it? 1 Corinthians 11 says that if we judge ourselves, we wouldn't be judged by the Lord. So there is there is an element that we have to continually search our hearts and judge our sinful actions before the Lord, confess it, and forsake it. And then our relationship with God, our fellowship with God is restored. So if we do that, God will not have to do it. Because God will not put his judging hand over us for a sin that we confessed or a sin that we are very concerned about and we ask God for forgiveness and we confess it. So that I think that's the idea of 1 Corinthians 11. And in that chapter, the correction of God and the discipline of God could go as far as death. He would actually take us away, take us home to heaven. Maybe a little prematurely because of our sin. But that has nothing to do with being judged for our sins, but being our actions being judged as children. So that's the beauty of this chapter. It gives us light on this new relationship that we have with God, which is a relationship of sons and daughter with a loving father. And the father treats us as a loving father in his dealings with us. So we have a relationship with the father that is secure, it's intimate, and it's eternal. It can never be altered in any way. The Lord Jesus says about his sheep that he gives unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. And that is something that we have to take to heart. But God will discipline us. He will chasten us. He will scourge us depending on our need, depending of different circumstances, depending if we have sinned and we fail to confess it. And sometimes in God's discipline, it has nothing to do with sin. It's not always because of sin or because of disobedience, if you will. It's often because of training. God wants to train us. God wants us to grow. He wants our growth. And really, the end goal is always for our ultimate good. He wants for us to grow and to develop, if you will, our faith muscles so that we can be stronger, so that we can be more and more conformed to the image of his son. So that's God's end goal, is that we will be like his son. And to do that, he has to train us and he has to discipline us. One thing that is very encouraging, because I'm a father, I have 5 children, and a very imperfect father. Over the years, we've done many mistakes, and sometimes we wish we could go back and redo it. Unfortunately, we can't do that. Thankfully, our children forgive us for a lot of our mistakes. But that is in contrast with our Heavenly Father, which cannot make a mistake. He never makes mistakes. He always treats us just the way we need to be treated. And even though sometimes, like I said earlier, life gets really, really hard, it's always for our ultimate good. He wants us to grow stronger. He wants us to grow better. He wants us to be more and more like his son. And that's his purpose. So he treats us as a loving father. It has nothing to do with wrath, judgment, condemnation. There's now no condemnation for them who are in Christ Jesus. You know, sometimes when we come to a different passage or a hard passage in Scripture, we have to go with the principle of elimination. There's things that the passage cannot mean. It cannot mean such and such because of this and this and this and this passages elsewhere in the Scriptures. So once you've eliminated the things that it cannot mean, then God can help you with what does it actually mean. For an example, if there's a passage that kind of can make you wonder about the deity of Christ, for an example, make it very, very big, a big example. You know, throughout the whole of the New Testament, there's ample verses that makes it very clear that the Lord Jesus is the eternal Son of God and He is God. So right away, you have to look at the passage and say, well, it cannot mean that He is not God. So what does it mean? And God can help you to understand that way. So when it comes to the children of God being under His wrath, well, that cannot be. Because the Scriptures are very clear. We have been delivered from the wrath to come. And we are not called under wrath, but obtaining salvation. And the context of 1 Thessalonians is that people were saying that the Lord had already come. And they were in the tribulation. And Paul makes it clear we are not in the tribulation. The Lord did not come yet because we have been redeemed and delivered from the wrath to come, and that we were called unto salvation and not unto wrath. So we have to make the distinction between the wrath of God for the unbelievers and the discipline of God for the believers, which it's all under the umbrella of a loving father towards his children that will never make a mistake. No matter what happens, God will not make a mistake. So He's a much better father than I ever was and any of us ever would be. He is the one who really loves us and cares for us. And whether it's correction and chastisement because of disobedience, because of sin in our lives, and that we're not acknowledging those sins, and we're not confessing those sins, God has to do something. He's not just going to let us go on the bad path to hurt ourselves and to hurt other people. The same way as us, as fathers, if our children are going in the wrong thing, we're not going to let them do it. Why? Because we love them. And because we want to make sure that they're going to grow to be good people and to be healthy and to be sheltered from harm, if you will. And again, a lot of the discipline is for training. So it has nothing to do with sin in our lives. It has to do with that God wants us to grow. He wants us to get stronger. And how do you get stronger? Well, you exercise. And you, like in everyday life, you want to get stronger. Well, you go to the gym and you pump iron. Well, God wants us to pump spiritual iron, if you will, to get stronger in our faith and to become more like His Son. And if somebody is not subject to the discipline of God, you're not subject to the chastening of God and the scourging of God as a child of God, well, that means that you're not a child at all. If you don't have a relationship with the Father, then you will not go through that. Only the true child of God, only the true believers, the true Christians will go through it. If you're not going through it, that means you're illegitimate. That means you're not saved at all. And then you see that this chastening and this discipline in our lives, coming from a loving Father, the goal of it and what really God's purpose is in it is to produce in us a peaceful fruit of righteousness. We see that. It says that no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, verse 11, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yielded a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them who are exercised by it. So we need it. We need it. We need to be trained, and we need to be disciplined by God, because by doing it, God produces something precious in our lives. We get closer to God. Our relationship with God is strengthened. Our faith muscles are strengthened, and we can become more and more like His Son. That is really Christianity 101, is to be like the Lord Jesus. Whether it is at work, whether it is with our family, whether it's with our neighbors, do they see Christ in us? In our reactions, in our actions, in our dealings with them, how are we doing? Or do they see impatience? I hope they're not seeing us swearing after the lawnmower when it doesn't want to start. All these things is what makes us different from this world, is how much we are like the Lord Jesus. So I'll just stop it there. We'll have lots of time to pray. So we'll have just a short word of prayer. Our God and Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You, Lord, that You deal with us like a loving Father who never makes mistakes. And Lord, sometimes life gets really hard. But Lord, help us not to just say, why me? But to say, what would You have us to learn through this? Lord, give us grace. And help us to grow, to be more like Your Son, as quick as possible. Lord, we know that in our flesh and in our natural of the old man, we are so little like Him. So we ask that You would give us the strength and give us the grace to be more found in fashion like He was. So we ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.